All right. Woo. Got some volume. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Thank you for the very kind words. Thank you. Ministry is a privilege, and it's a calling, and if you don't accept it on those terms, it's hard to stay at it. But it's also something that is, there's a cost to it, but it's a cost that's often paid by the family as well as the minister. And so I think one of the greatest joys that my wife and I have is, our daughter still loves church. She's found a tribe, and she's engaged, and that's not always what happens to preachers' kids. Some of that is the culture that we created, and some of it is obviously God. But when you create a gracious atmosphere, it helps. And so I appreciate you guys as well. And thank my wife and my daughter. Because you're really appreciating them too. So thank you. All right, Acts chapter 2. Okay, I'm going to... All right, Acts chapter 2. We're not going to go long today, and we're really the point is to get us into what we're going to be doing over the next 3 weeks, and but to do that, we're going to highlight a couple things in Scripture, and because that's always a great place to go, and you're not going to hear anything new today, but we always need reminders. So let's just read a little bit. Acts chapter 2, verses 14, and I encourage you to do this, read the first 14 verses, because that's a fun story to get up to this point, because Peter is getting up to explain a lot of craziness that's just happened in the previous few minutes, summarized in the first 13 verses. The Holy Spirit's been poured out, it's Pentecost, there's three major festivals for observant Jews, and so we're now at Pentecost, and Jesus was offered as the sacrificial lamb at Passover. So a certain period of time's passed, and now, if you were an observant Jewish male, you had to be in Jerusalem three times a year. There were minor exceptions, but everybody's on deck, okay? And so the Holy Spirit's poured out, and those outside the church are watching what is happening to this group of people who've been followers of Jesus, and Peter's getting up to try to explain what's just happened. So Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel." So the Holy Spirit has showed up, and the behavior and the response of those involved was such that bystanders might say, these guys are hammered. They are acting completely foolish, crazy, unusual, unorthodox. Fill in the blank with whatever adjective that you want for that. But they're not just poking fun at religious behavior. They don't understand what's happening. And this carnal explanation is the first place that they've got to go. They must be drunk. They're acting that unusual or unrestrained or unhinged. You know, we're only sort of speculating because there's not more details, but it's enough to where it's elicited this sort of response, and Peter's addressing it. He says, no, something happening that's deeper than this, and it's prophetic. And this is what was spoken of through one of the prophets, Joel. And in the last days, it shall be that God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. In the last days, God declares, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Let's just, for clarity's sake, has Jesus returned yet? Okay, when Jesus left the earth, he said, I'm coming back. And so let's just tie down that he has not, in fact, returned yet. Okay, so we are in the last days. It's not over yet. We're in the last part of this. So it's the last days. And God says he's going to pour out my spirit on what flesh? All flesh. So, guess what? You're qualified. It could happen to you. It could happen to you again and again. It's the last days, and you're all flesh. So your sons and daughters shall prophesy. That's an interesting word. It means to bubble up and to proclaim. And there's a lot of implications for that. But it says your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Believe it or not, that was a controversial statement, particularly when it was first uttered by the prophet Joel, that God's spirit would be poured out on the ladies too? There's only a handful of times that happened in the Old Testament. It was typically the stereotypical picture of the anointing was not just the way it would fall upon people in Judges. Foremost in the Jewish mind would be the anointing oil that was placed over the priests or placed on the king, designating him into kinghood. So the Joel saying, Spirit's going to get poured out on everybody, is a controversial statement, because you could only go to Judges in a few places and see where God raised up a woman to do something miraculous and powerful, but the anointing on the judges would not be foremost in their mind. It would be third or fourth in their mind. So even Joel's statement was provocative, and Peter saying it to observant Jews in this time period is provocative. I'll pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. They shall speak forth God's stuff, God's things, God's words, God's ideas. And I'll show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below. Wonder what that means. You know, a lot of these, I still see something new that intrigues my, you know, piques my interest. I read this last night getting ready, and I was like, signs on the earth below. Blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. Wonder what that's going to be like. I don't got anything to add to that. I'm just wondering. Anybody else wonder about stuff like this? Yeah. Verse 20. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So here we have the birth of the church. We have Holy Spirit being poured out. We had believers in the upper room, and they're waiting, and God said, wait, and the Holy Spirit's going to come, and they waited. The Holy Spirit showed up, and it's pandemonium, and all the people that have come into Jerusalem to observe the ceremonial, to observe the Mosaic law and to participate in the ceremonies, they're there, and they're witnessing this, and 3,000 people join their number after this. 2-minute sermon. We have no shortage of sermons and information to draw from in the modern age. It's even greater than it was when I started preaching, just your ability to just go hear anybody you want at any time. It's just instantaneous. But under the anointing, Peter can preach a 2-minute message and change a city, a region, the known world, because all these Jews were going to leave and go back into their own little communities, and a revolution just got started with a pretty short message. Further proof that we need the presence of the Lord more than we need long sermons. Just a thought. So God's going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh, sons and daughters. They're going to prophesy. It's going to be dreams. There's going to be visions. The Spirit of God's going to be poured out on all flesh. Male servants, female servants, God's servants. And there's going to be, verse 19 and 20, there's going to be some crazy stuff that happens before the Lord comes back. Crazy stuff, spectacle stuff. Folks, this is cinematic big stuff here. Can't tell you when I know exactly we're going to see blood, fire, and vapor of smoke, but it's on the checklist here. We're going to see this at some point before Jesus comes back. Sun's going to be turned to darkness. The moon's going to turn to blood. We're going to see some crazy stuff, folks, before Jesus comes back. Yeah. I think we're in the last chapter, but I can't begin to tell you I know with any sense of specificity when Jesus is going to return. Just don't know that. You know, Noah and his grandfather Methuselah preached for 120 years and gained no converts before the flood came. 120 years. Man, that's a rough last days, like closing chapter of an age, isn't it? That's a tough audience. You know, comedians are like, that's a tough crowd. Hey, it's a tough crowd tonight. Loosen up a little. 120 years, no converts. 120 years, nobody turned away from their wickedness. Go out, spend the afternoon preaching, trying to share. I guess we'll go back and hammer a few more nails. The broader Jewish history says God would have kept the flood further back if there'd been some converts, but it didn't happen. This was a tough closing period to an end of an age. This closing period to the end of the age, even though we got blood and fire and vapor and smoke and the sun turning to darkness, we've also got God saying, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. All flesh. So as weird as it could be potentially getting, understand God is up to something through His people that is bigger. We desperately need God in this day and time. We desperately need His presence. We desperately need the Holy Spirit to be poured out. Pentecost was not a one-time event. Why does the Bible say, be filled with the Holy Spirit? And it's literally a word in the Greek that's like, keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't translate to English very well. Why is that true? Because folks, it's the world's crazy. We go through a few periods where life's kind of predictable and kind of nice, and guess what? It's cooking crazy again, isn't it? It's a bizarre world in many respects. Things that just should be obvious are crazy. If you just say the truth about things, just common sense observations about any number of events that are going on in the world, you are canceled, shut down, and treated like you're a complete idiot. And all the while, there's a growing consensus among the populations of the world. The emperors have no clothes. Somebody forgot to tell the people who are telling the truth that he doesn't have any clothes on. Y'all, this is the famous, okay, maybe all another. There's a story that the emperor has no clothes, but since he's the emperor and he can cut your head off, everybody's pretending and talking about the wonderful clothing that he has until this little kid innocently comes along and says, he has no clothes on. So the truth becomes scandalous when the world's crazy, and the world's crazy right now, folks. You're not crazy, and there's more of us than there are them. I'm showing remarkable restraint, not wading into all the issues of the day. However, I will be remiss if I don't say this. If you are getting hassled by your employer or the government about a vaccine mandate and you need help crafting a religious exemption, I'm your anti-fascist pastor who will be happy to help you. If you have friends and they don't have a pastor that's willing to help them, then get them to us. Thank you. That's our PSA for the day. Yeah, well, yeah, Facebook just went down, guys. Wow. Facebook Live just went down. Well, okay. I'm not using the word fascist lightly. That is the cooperation of government and corporations to force people to do things that they would otherwise not want to do or are legal. So I'm using that word very carefully. Some words I don't use carefully, but I'm using that one carefully. All right, back to Acts chapter 2. So God's Spirit's going to be poured out. But we also see that the world at large, there's going to be some crazy things happening. Uses some picturesque language to describe that. But something happened. There are these moments that happen in our lives, and sometimes we don't know how important they are in the moment. Like, I'm not sure Rome got a memo the next day that said, hey, there is an earth-shattering consequential event that happened in that far-flung province where you got a Roman governor in Jerusalem. This thing's going to mess everything up in a few years. That didn't happen because they didn't understand what was happening at the time. It was big for those people in that moment, but there was something historic happening, and the outworking of it was going to change the world. Sometimes we have moments in our own life where we look back and we realize, man, that was consequential. And the Holy Spirit can do those things in our life where we struggle with something and He just sets us free. And maybe some people prayed, maybe you just let go and worship, maybe it's your home group praying for you, whatever it might be, but there's this moment that's consequential. And it changes the course of your life. And it may not even, you may know it was important, but you look back on it and you realize, man, that was a big thing. I didn't even know. I knew it was important, but I didn't know how important. And the Holy Spirit being poured out is one of these things. The world couldn't understand it, but the world was going to be forced to understand it in the coming decades. That the change that was going to undo cultures and kingdoms, a big movement forward, happened at Pentecost. The cross, the resurrection, of course, being the central pivotal event, but almost as pivotal as Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's poured out. And we see this group of 120 begin to grow. Now, as we head into this next 3 weeks where we're going to be praying together, Can I give you a piece of practical advice or just a practical observation? Five minutes of reality is better than an hour of good intentions. Get your handy little prayer list here. Let's see, October 25th, 26th, and 27th, we're going to be praying about renewing our hearts. If you began your day and said, Lord, renew our hearts for me, for my family, for my church, for my country, for Texas, however far you want to go with it, and you say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Change me first. And God, I'm just going to confess to you every place I'm falling short, and I'm going to receive your forgiveness. I'm going to ask you to help me with the things that I do that are counterproductive. Iniquity is this drive towards sin. It's not sin yet, but it's that thing in us that's always bent just a little bit the wrong way. So Lord, renew our hearts. Create in us a clean heart. Lord, I'm sinned. Our country sinned. Forgive us. Amen. What if you did that every day for 21 days with each one of these points? Would that be better than that hour of prayer that you're condemning yourself for, that you think you should be doing, but you never quite pull off? Yeah. Don't be so hard on yourself, folks. It's okay to start small. If you work up to an hour, fantastic. But a few minutes a day? Proverbs says, if you gather little over time, it becomes much. That's in the Proverbs. It really is. It's there. Yeah, and it's about money, but it's about relationships, about prayer. It's about if you just make small investments, they start building up over time. It's a beautiful verse. So, few minutes of reality is better than an hour of good intentions. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. We're going to spend the next 21 days praying and focusing on some things. And what we're not going to do is be condemning ourselves about how much we don't pray. So this next 21 days is a condemnation-free prayer zone. Amen? Amen. So Acts 2, verse 42. We're seeing the outworking of all that Jesus had built and invested in the disciples, and then this flash fire that is Pentecost. Verse 42, how did they respond to what God was doing? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer, or the prayers. We're going to get back to that word in just a moment. It's an interesting word. And awe came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to their number day by day those that were being saved. Acts 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to some things, to apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to each other, okay, to each other, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now, that word prayer is it's an interesting word. It's the most used word for prayer. If you look it up in Strong's, it always connects it, it connects prayer to praise, and it's, I think, because the word has the idea of, they would call it supplication, but it's something going up. And so that's why in Strong's it defines it with the word praise. So it, in the most specific sense, it's accurate to say prayer, but I think in the broader sense, it we need to be committed to worship as well, because it's not viewing these as separate things. This is, they're sort of two sides of a coin, if it were. The word, when it's used as a noun, could literally be a physical place where prayer is taking place, like a house of prayer. And I think Jesus talked about a house of prayer for all nations, that this is what his body was. This is what he had intended, that God was going to draw people outside of the normal group, outside of the Jewish world, but he was going to draw people from all nations into an assembly, into a gathering, and it would be a house of prayer for all nations. When we read Acts 15, the apostles connected this to more prophetic writings, and they literally said, what's happening is the fulfillment of David's, it's a prophecy in the Old Testament where David's fallen tent is being rebuilt. I've preached about this. We've got stuff online about this that you can read about, but David's tabernacle was very different from Moses' tabernacle in the way that they worshiped. And it was exuberant, and there was prayers taking place, but there was also always worship taking place. And they were writing psalms, and they were writing music, and it was a merger of prayer and a merger of worship that was very different from what had happened before. When David builds a temple, and his son dedicates that temple, the order of worship reverted back to the Mosaic style. But the New Testament apostles are saying, this move of God that's happening now, where the Holy Spirit's poured out and the presence of God is accessible to all, we're experiencing the rebuilding of David's tent, David's tabernacle, David's type of worship. We don't talk about this enough in New Testament theology. We don't. In the great systems of theology from the denominations, this is not part of the systematic theology in a way that it needs to be. Because literally, this is the most literal explanation of, well, hey, what's the New Testament church supposed to be like? Well, the guys that hung out with Jesus concluded in Acts 15, we need to look to David's example. So they were devoted to certain things. And the word devoted is this great word, and it's a more powerful word than what we use in the English. It means they were serious. It means to be earnest. You know, Ernie spells his name Ernest, or his parents gave him, it's not E-R, it's literally E-A-R, which is a cool, I think a cool twist on that word, because it's serious, it's earnest, it's truthful, it's honest. That's what that word means. So to be devoted means to be earnest, to be steadfast, to give unremitting care to something. So they were devoted to some things, to biblical truth, to community, to breaking bread, to prayer rising up in the way that worship rises up. Amen? So let's renew our minds over this next 21 days, and let's be praying. Amen? We're going to take the Lord's Supper in just a moment. As we close out, though, today, we're going to ask people to be signing up for fasting as well. As part of this. Now, we'll be sending out reminders and scriptures and other things through the app or through the Facebook page, but we are asking people to take some specific days. Over the 21 days, take a day where you're going to be fasting. Take a day where you're going to be denying yourself. If you want to take several, that's fine too, but take a day where you're going to deny yourself. Now, fasting in the strictest sense means you're not eating food, but you can drink water. There's other examples of different types of fasts. Daniel would be the one that's most commonly talked about. But it may or may not be appropriate for you to completely get away from food. But let me stress that there's some other things in our society that are as compelling as food for some. Oh, they're all waiting for the shoe to drop. There's things we can all fast from, entertainment, social media. I mean, you pray about it and you see what God tells you what you're supposed to do on that day. But we're asking you to take a day or more. Or take one a day a week or whatever. And that lovely young lady there is going to be the one that's going to be doing the sign up. Everybody know who Angie is? Yay. Thanks, Angie. Thanks, Angie. All right. Why don't we get a musician? Let's go ahead and take the Lord's Prayer or take the Lord's Table and... we're going to draw things to a close today. Seven different categories, topics that we're going to be praying through for three specific days each. Renewing our hearts, renewing our minds, renewing our purpose. We'll be praying about missions as well at that during those 3 days. Also to deliver us from evil. Oh, don't even get me started on that one. Next, renewal in government. And boy, we need some prayer there. And then also renewal of God's presence. That's not just church, that's in our world. And lastly, the renewal of the church, not just our church, but every church. We're going to be praying for all churches at that point. We need God's help. We need God's help so desperately in so many different ways. So, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And people are like, well, breaking bread, is that the Lord's Supper, or is that gathering together to eat? I go with both, because I think God's usually a both God instead of an either-or God. But either way, we're going to take the Lord's table today. So, anybody need these handy little Lord's Supper things? Anybody? Okay. Make sure everybody gets one that wants one. Yeah, go ahead and start breaking that thing down, getting it ready. Paul told the Corinthians that when you come to the Lord's table, you ought to examine yourself. And we spent a little time with that during our worship segment. But the Lord's table is a powerful place. Science tells us if we don't insulate certain things and power goes in places that it shouldn't be going, there can be harm done. And this is why Paul told the Corinthians, some of you have fallen asleep. And he doesn't mean they're taking a nap. He's saying some of you have dropped dead because this is a holy thing and you didn't treat it as a holy thing. And so if we believe that there's power in this, then we have to fear God from the understanding that he is holy and this is his body and it is his blood. And if we treat it callously or casually, there could be consequences. And so his encouragement is examine yourselves. What's that mean in plain speak? Get your heart right. I want you to close your eyes and we're going to take a moment and let the Holy Spirit talk to each and every one of us. And this is where we listen to the Holy Spirit. And if I've got resentment against my wife, the guy who cut me off on the Texas Avenue, or the government, boy, that's been one I struggle with lately. You know, I got to let that stuff go. I'm going to adopt a posture of forgiveness. And I'm going to forgive. If I come to the Lord's table and I'm asking him to forgive me, but I'm holding sin in my heart against someone else, then I've stepped into a dangerous place. And this is not about perfection. This is about us bringing our faults, confessing them, bringing them underneath God's authority and God's forgiveness. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you here today. If there's anything in our hearts we need to bring to you before we take of the body and blood of our Lord, we ask that you speak to our hearts. We just agree together right now that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There's no voice of condemnation. But we welcome the conviction of the Holy Spirit today. When you correct us, Lord, there's always grace. There's always love. There's always acceptance. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples saying, "This is my body broken for you." And I welcome you to go ahead and receive the body of Jesus, broken, pierced for your iniquities. By the stripes that were laid upon him, you've been made whole. I welcome you to take the blood of Jesus shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. We do this, Jesus, in remembrance of your great victory. Your great triumph over sin. Jesus, you're incomparable. You did what no one else could do. We thank you for your body and your blood. Let's go ahead and stand, and we're going to close in prayer. as elders, we're going to be praying for God to do a work in your hearts over the next 21 days, and that you're going to meet with God in some refreshing ways, some ways that renew your purpose, renew your focus, renew your heart. Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for being with us today. We thank you for revealing Jesus to us in worship. We thank you for refreshing us in our hearts and our minds. We thank you for the body and blood of Jesus that we've shared today. We thank you that you have been poured out over all flesh, and you continue to be poured out over all flesh. And your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your old men are going to dream dreams. Young men are going to see visions. Male and female, all of your servants, your spirit's going to be poured out, and they shall prophesy and speak the things of God to their world. I bless you. Have a great week. Dig down and pray. Again, a little bit is better than beating yourself up over not doing a lot. We're in a condemnation-free zone for the next 21 days. Amen? Amen. God bless you and keep you, and have a great Sunday.